Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes is part of the wisdom literature of the Old Testament. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, so shortly after Proverbs. And the word Ecclesiastes means preacher, and the preacher in this passage is King Solomon. And it's a fascinating passage we're going to look at. It's written to young people, but has a beautiful poem for old people in it. So there's something for everybody in this passage. So now you can stand. Please stand now, and we're going to read. You can follow along as I read from Ecclesiastes chapter 11, beginning at verse 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, beginning at verse 7. Light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all, but let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these things God will bring you into judgment. Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw nigh, near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened, and the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men are bent, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those who look through the windows are dimmed, and the doors on the street are shut, when the sound of the grinding is low, and one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of song are brought low. They are afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails because man is going to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. Besides being wise, the preacher also taught the people knowledge, weighing and studying and arranging many proverbs with great care. The preacher sought to find words of delight, and uprightly he wrote words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and like nails firmly fixed are the collected sayings. They are given by one shepherd. My son, beware of anything beyond these. Of making many books, there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. So we're going to look closely at Ecclesiastes 11 and 12, but let's read from the New Testament, Philippians 4, beginning in verse 4. Philippians 4, beginning in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please take your seats, and let us pray as we prepare to look closely at Ecclesiastes, beginning in chapter 11. Please pray with me. Gracious Father, we would not be able to understand your word nor apply it apart from your Holy Spirit power. So Holy Spirit, please open our eyes to see your words, unstop our ears to listen closely, soften our hearts to receive your word, and then energize our limbs to obey it. So Father, please help us to understand and obey your word this morning. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So go ahead and stay in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, beginning of verse 7. We'll be looking at a lot of verses closely there. The name of this sermon is What Drives You? And when I was 22 years old, just having graduated college and my first post-college job, I was a driven man. What was driving me? It was my 1981 Datsun 280ZX turbocharged blue and silver sports car. This car drove me. It dominated my thoughts, my finances, my emotions. Everything in my life revolved around this car. It was a beautiful car. When I would park it in a parking lot to go into a building, I would stop and turn and just stare at it for 30 seconds in admiration before I would go into the building. And then when I come out, I'd look at it for another 30 seconds before I get in and drive it away. And when I was standing, or when I would pull it up to a stoplight, I would look over to see if the car next to me, if the person in the car was admiring my car, and frequently the person was admiring my car, and we just kind of would knowingly nod our heads, like, yes, this is a magnificent car. No words need to be said. And the car was not only beautiful, but it was also fast. I drove at 130 miles an hour on the autobahns of Germany when I was in the Air Force, and I was also in charge of construction projects in the Air Force at Ramstein Air Base. We completely reconstructed the two-mile runway one year, and it was almost ready to be open for planes to land on it. And so I decided to go out for one final inspection, so I drove my 280ZX 100 miles an hour down the runway. And thankfully, no planes attempted to land while I was doing that. So my car was beautiful, and it was fast, but I haven't answered the one question you all are wondering. Did my car help me attract the women? Well, I can share the effect it had on my future wife, Cecilia. So I picked her up for our first date, an hour and a half late, because obviously I had been waxing and washing and vacuuming and applying Armor All to the bumpers and the tires. So the car looked perfect. I picked her up, and she didn't even notice that I was late. She said she had been on the phone long distance with her sister. So I walked her to the car and seated her in the car and went around and sat down. And first thing I said was, "What do you think of my car?" She said, "I hadn't noticed. What is it?" So she had no interest at all in my car, and this was a very positive sign for our relationship because it showed that she was interested in me for me. She wasn't interested in me for my car, and she definitely wasn't interested in me for my money because I didn't have any money because I spent it all on the car. So I was driven by this car. It drove my thoughts, my time, my finances. Everything was all about this car, and it drove my self-esteem as well. And so stop right now and think, what drives you? What is really driving you in your life? There are many possibilities. You might be driven by your desire to make good grades. You might be driven by your desire to excel in sports or music or theater or art. You might be driven by the desire to be accepted into a prestigious university or to be hired into a prestigious job. You might be driven by being successful in your job or being admired for your work ethic or by being promoted. You might be driven by the desire to make a lot of money, to live comfortably, to have status, to travel the world, to buy a lot of things, to have a nice house, car, or boat, or to retire early. You might be driven by what others think of you, by your reputation. You might be driven by your marriage or your children. You might be driven by your desire for a romantic relationship, for a boyfriend or girlfriend, to be married, to have children. You might be driven by desire for popularity or acceptance or making people laugh or gaining social media likes or followers or subscribers. You might be driven by a desire to do exciting things or to live on the edge. Those are things you might be driven by. What should we be driven by? Today's passage is going to teach us that we should be driven by a relationship with God. We should be driven by the desire to center our lives on God. And the preacher in today's passage is speaking particularly to young people. I'm so excited to see all the young people in this church. It makes me so happy. To fully enjoy life in your youth, you must be driven by your relationship with God. To be driven by a relationship with God is to rejoice in God while you're young, to remember God while you're young, and to revere God while you're young. So we're going to find out if you rejoice in, remember, and revere God, you're going to have a great time along the way. You're going to have fun following God. The preacher in Ecclesiastes says, first of all, rejoice in God while you're young. Rejoice in each new day. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 7. Chapter 11, verse 7. Light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. This verse means enjoy each day. Arise each morning to see God's light shining through the windows. Enjoy the morning sunrise, the double rainbow, the blazing campfire, the twinkling lights of home after a long trip. And also enjoy that Jesus lights up your life with new insight from his scripture and with new love that you gain for him. Rejoice in each new day and the light that Jesus shines in it. And rejoice in all your days. Look at verse 8. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. So don't take life for granted. Enjoy every day. Enjoy the present. We tend to look forward to what's coming up. We tend to look forward to the weekend or spring break or graduation or retirement. But don't skip over the present. Enjoy your school, your job, your family, your relationships, your friendships, and your ministry. Enjoy every day. Rejoice in all your days. And particularly rejoice in your youth. Why should you rejoice in your youth? First of all, because God says to. Verse 9 says, rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes. It's a command. Rejoice in your youth. Have a cheerful heart. Do what your heart and eyes encourage you to do. If the sun is shining, go outside. If you're driving by a park, stop and play. If you're driving by a restaurant, go in and eat. Enjoy your youth. Have fun. God wants you to have fun. Don't postpone enjoyment until you have your own car, until you graduate high school, until you graduate college, until you land a good job, until you retire. Take someone to dinner now. Have a picnic. Take a vacation. Play catch with a child. Watch a sport. Play a sport. Learn a new hobby. Cook a new dish. Make a new friend. Enjoy the present, God says to. Why else should you rejoice in your youth? Because youth is fleeting. Verse 8 says, but let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. And then verse 10 says, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity. Vanity, the word vanity shows up throughout Ecclesiastes. It literally means vapor or breath, like the breath from our mouth on a cold winter day. The days of youth are fleeting, so enjoy them. Verse 8 says, the days of darkness are coming. In contrast to the bright vibrancy of youth, old age brings infirmity and sorrow. The dawn of life, or the prime of life, in verse 10, literally means black hair. Youth is a time of dark hair. Your hair is going to turn white like mine when you get older. You will be in the days of white hair before you know it. So don't waste your youth now. Rejoice every day in your youth. How should you rejoice in your youth? Without anxiety. Verse 10 says, remove vexation from your heart. Vexation means anxiety. Count your blessings. Seek Christian counsel. Read a book about sleep. And ask God for peace instead of anxiety. And don't idolize your youth to the point that you dread its loss and thus fail to enjoy the gift while you have it. Many of you, when you were kids, had sneakers that would light up, and that at night it was really fun to wear the sneakers that would light up. I always liked those. And I heard about a boy who had these sneakers, and he loved these sneakers that lit up, and he wore them all the time. And his mom said, be careful, if you wear those all the time, the battery's going to wear out, and it's not going to light up anymore. So now he was afraid to wear them. He thought, if I wear my sneakers, they're going to light, the battery's going to go out, and I'm not going to be able to have it light up anymore. So he stopped wearing them, and then his feet grew too big, and he could never wear them again. So if your kids, if you have sneakers that light up, wear them now and enjoy them. But everybody in your youth, enjoy your youth. You're not always going to have it. Don't waste the vibrancy of your youth. It's a gift. Enjoy it while you have it. As Ferris Bueller says, life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop to look around once in a while, you could miss it. So rejoice without anxiety and without pain. Verse 10 says, and put away pain from your body. Pain here can be translated as evil. If it either refers to physical pain or it refers to sin. It either means take care of your body and see a doctor or repent of sin. We should do both. We should take care of our bodies and we should repent of sin to have energy to enjoy life. Do what you can now to remove anxiety and pain so you can rejoice in your youth before life gets more difficult later. With God's help, rejoice in your youth without anxiety, without pain, and with responsibility. Verse 9 says, but know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. As a young Christian, God wants you to enjoy life, but you may not do whatever you please. You must enjoy life within his prescribed boundaries. There was a famous playground experiment that was held many years ago in which kids, first of all, played on a playground that did not have a perimeter fence around the playground, and then they played on a playground with a fence. And when the kids played on the playground without the perimeter fence, they huddled around their caregivers in the middle of the playground. They were afraid to go out and explore the boundaries of the playground. They felt insecure to do so. But when the kids played on a playground with a boundary fence, they explored the entire playground. They went out to the edge because they felt psychologically safe and secure and free to actually enjoy their playground time more because there was a boundary around it. So the children had more freedom and fun when they had a prescribed boundary to the playground. And you will also have more freedom and fun if you enjoy life within God's prescribed boundaries. So, premarital physicality, overdrinking, drug use, lying, stealing, cheating might seem like fun in the moment, but they will each lead to misery and heartache. So have fun within biblical boundaries, which will honor God and provide lasting fulfillment. In other words, learn God's instructions for how to do relationships with the opposite sex, how to eat, how to drink, how to spend your finances, how to enjoy your family, how to go to school, how to do your work, how to do all of your relationships. Enjoy life the way God instructs us to. That's how you live for today. Have fun God's way. For example, have a party in your home or in your dormitory without indulging in alcohol. Date without physicality. Go to sporting events without cursing the other team. Enjoy life within God's boundaries. Have fun God's ways. So rejoice in each day. Rejoice in all your days, particularly rejoice in your youth. Enjoy your youth. Don't think your life will start when you're older. Country singer Trace Adkins sings an excellent song with an excellent video titled, "You're Gonna Miss This." So he sings about a mom driving her teenage daughter to school, and her daughter says, "Please park in the parking lot over there, and I'll walk the rest of the way to school." And the daughter's lamenting that, "I wish that I was old enough to have my own car and drive myself to school and have my own freedom." And the mom says lovingly to the daughter, "Don't rush things. Enjoy your 13, 14, 15-year-old years. Don't think that life has to come here in a hurry. Enjoy this life that you have now." And then the song moves forward to the daughter. Now she's married, and she is in a one-bedroom apartment that she's renting with her husband, and her dad is helping her set up the apartment. And she's saying, "Oh, I wish I could get out of this apartment, have my own house, and have my own kids." And the dad says, "Enjoy this stage of your life. You're going to miss it when you're in the next stage." And then the song fast forwards to when she has several kids in the house and it's kind of chaotic, and a repairman comes to the house and he's fixing things in the house. She's apologizing that the house is chaotic and these kids and it's a mess. And he says, "I wish I missed the days when my house was chaotic with kids and a mess." And so enjoy this stage while you have it. You're going to miss it when you don't have it anymore. So the song is, "You're going to miss this." So the song encourages us to slow down and enjoy each day for what God brings. God wants us to enjoy each day. So rejoice in God while you're young and remember God while you're young. Remember your Creator while you're young, verse 1 of chapter 12. Remember your Creator while you're young. Verse 1 of chapter 12, Ecclesiastes says, "Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them." So referring to God as Creator here in verse 1 reminds us that God gave us everything that we have. He made us. He gave us our family and friends. He gave us all of the beautiful creation to enjoy. He gave us our possessions. It's easy when we were young to think only of ourselves. But to remember our Creator is to think about Him constantly, to center our lives on God, to be driven by Him. Verse 1 implies that it might be difficult to remember our Creator in old age when our bodies and minds begin to deteriorate. So God is saying, remember your Creator before your body and mind deteriorate. Old age is like a gathering storm. Verse 2 says, "Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened, and the clouds return after the rain." Earlier in chapter 11, we saw that we should rise in the morning to the sunlight and the new day. Here in chapter 12, verse 2, we see the sun and the moon and the stars are darkening. Old age can be a season of darkness. Old people fall and break a hip, get pneumonia, lose their memories, lose relationships with adult children, see good friends die. The preacher is telling young people, remember your Creator in your youth before it gets difficult to do so. Old age is like a gathering storm, and old age is like a crumbling house. This is where you're going to want to look closely at the Bible, because I'm going to explain each part of this crumbling house from the scripture here. So old age is like a crumbling house, beginning in verse 3. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble, this refers to the person's arms begin to tremble in old age, and the strong men are bent, which means our legs are bent with age, and the grinders cease because they are few. Teeth fall out of old people, and those who look through the windows are dimmed, which refers to vision loss. And verse 4, and the doors on the street are shut when the sound of the grinding is low. Old people get hearing loss, and one rises up at the sound of a bird. Old people wake up early, and all the daughters of song are brought low. Vocal cords no longer have the elastic strength to make sweet music. And verse 5, they are afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. The elderly are afraid of falling or being attacked. And the almond tree blossoms. The white blossoms of an almond tree reflect the white hair of old age. And the grasshopper drags itself along. Formerly springing up in the air, it now drags itself along the ground. And desire fails because man is going to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. So the elderly suffer from diminished desire, including but not limited to sexual desire. And then verse 6, before the silver cord is snapped or the golden bowl is broken. Verse 6 refers to death. The silver cord that holds a golden lamp is snapped, and the light of life is snuffed out. And then continuing in verse 6, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. The shattered pitcher and broken wheel at a well mean life-giving water is no longer available. It's ironic that in this difficult time of life that old people have, it's described in this passage with beautiful poetry. This beautiful language inserts a ray of hope into the darkness of old age. God cares so much about old people that he inspired a beautiful poem to describe their condition. Old age is like a gathering storm in a crumbling house. To young people, God is saying, remember your Creator before your body and mind deteriorate. Remember your Creator while you're young and vibrant. Remember your Creator before it's too late. Verse 7 says, and the dust returns to earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. Death is the reversal of creation. God created Adam from the dust and breathed life into him. When we die, our bodies return to dust, and our spirit will return to God. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, life is a vapor. Life is fleeting. Enjoy each moment while you have it. It'll be harder to enjoy when you're older. This passage is for young people and for old people too. You can rejoice and remember God even if your body is crumbling. When Jesus returns, we will receive new bodies without pain and sickness. With the hope of Christ's return in mind, we can rejoice in God and remember him now. Psalm 92 says, the righteous flourish like the palm tree. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green. So old people with crumbling bodies can still bear fruit for God in old age. Old people can rejoice in and remember God. But the preacher is going to keep talking to the young. The preacher says, rejoice in God while you're young, remember God while you're young, and revere God while you're young. We must revere God while we're young. We must learn how to revere God from his word. Verse 9 says, besides being wise, the preacher also taught the people knowledge, weighing and studying and arranging many proverbs with great care. The preacher sought to find words of delight, and uprightly he wrote words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and like nails firmly fixed are the collected sayings. They are given by one shepherd. My son, beware of anything beyond these, of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. The goads in verse 11 refer to a sharp stick that a shepherd used to spur a stubborn ox along to keep moving. It didn't harm the animal. It inflicted just enough pain to gain its cooperation. God's word pains our conscience. It makes our conscience uncomfortable enough to turn away from sin. And the one shepherd in verse 11 refers to God, who breathed out his word for our benefit. While we're young, we must learn from God's word, and we must fear God and keep his commandments. The whole of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. Verse 13 says, the end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. The word duty there isn't included in the original Hebrew. It says, for this is the whole of man. Fearing God and keeping his commandments are not just what we do, it's the essence of who we are. The entire being of a Christian is to fear God and keep his commandments. The whole of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. It's part of our essence. We demonstrate fear of God by keeping his commandments. Verse 13 says, fear God and keep his commandments. Fearing God is our attitude. Keeping his commandments is our action. To fear God is not to be terrified of God, but to stand in awe of him. To fear God is to stand in awe of the eternal, sovereign, holy God. Because we fear God, we honor and worship him, and we center our lives on him. Our motivation to fear God and to keep his commandments is the coming judgment. Verse 14 says, for God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. Those who reject Christ in this life will be judged for their sins and will face eternal condemnation. Those who trust in Christ in this life will be judged as ones whose guilt for sin has been paid for by Christ on the cross. Judgment for Christians is not one of punishment, but it's a judgment of rewards. Therefore, the motivation for Christians to keep God's commandments is not because we fear his judgment. Rather, we keep God's commandments because we're grateful for his grace, which he displayed in Christ when he died for us on the cross, which saves us from God's judgment. So to fear God while you're young and young at heart is to remember that we must fear God by standing in awe of him. God is awesome and we must fear him. God is awesome and we must revere him. When I was 22, I was firmly convinced that my Datsun 280ZX was awesome. And the commercials at the time said, awesome. I didn't know what awesome was until I met God a few years later. Therefore, we must rejoice in, remember, and revere God all the days of our lives. We must center our life on God. We must be driven by a relationship with God because God alone is awesome. We must be driven by him. Please pray with me. Gracious Father, we are driven by many things in life which are not you. And Father, we ask that you enable us by your Holy Spirit power to center our focus, our attention, our emotions, our motivations, our finances, our time on you. Father, we want to be driven by you and you alone. We want to enjoy life as you tell us to. We want to enjoy life within your parameters. We want to enjoy life in ways that honor you. So please help us to enjoy life in ways that honor you. Please help us to be driven by you and you alone in everything we do. As young people and as old people, we pray in Jesus' name, amen.